We're going to reflect on Tennessee's loss earlier in the season on the baseball diamond and how it is not the end of the world. Josh Ward joins the show for Ward Wednesday on a Thursday, and another publication put out some SEC win totals, all that and more coming up on your Thursday Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome into it. This is your Thursday Locked On Vols, your team every single day. I am your host, Eric Caney. If you're new to the show, welcome to it. I do radio in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I write for the rival side covering Tennessee at VolQuest.com. You can find this podcast on Twitter at underscore Caner and at Locked On Vols. Locked On Vols, your team every single day, 5 days a week, every morning when you wake up on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, more odds, more lines than ever before. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. So let's go ahead and get down into it. Tennessee baseball, let's be real with you, okay? I tweeted this out. I'm not sure how many people saw that on my Twitter account at underscore Caner, but when I posted Wednesday's episode on social, I said, hey, here's a note. I got this done before Tennessee's baseball game was over. So obviously, there was no way for me to know that Tennessee was going to lose when I was recording this podcast. And when you wake up at 4:45 in the morning, you're not waiting until 10:30 at night when you don't have to record an episode. So apologies there. But I wanted to discuss Tennessee's baseball loss here on the show today. Tennessee falls 3-2 to Tennessee Tech. Okay, it's a midweek loss. Who cares, right? Well, Tennessee's the number one team in the country. Tennessee was riding a 23-game win streak. It came to an end to Tennessee Tech, a team from the OVC. It just kind of, you know, it is what it is. Also, you add in the other wrinkle that it was a wood bats game. Number one, why are you playing a wood bats game in the middle of your season? Why are you doing that in the middle of a win streak? And, you know, when Tennessee is scoring 10 runs a game and you only manage 2 runs a game, it's easy to point the fingers at the wood bats. We are here to put out all those fires of lies, okay? Here's what happened. First and foremost, baseball is baseball, all right? It's not the end of the world when you lose a baseball game. The fact that Tennessee won 23 games in a row is mind-boggling. It's shocking to me. I mean, it just goes to tell you how impressive that is. I mean, you guys watch Major League Baseball, right? I know a lot of you guys are new to the college baseball fandom. Hell, I am too. I really am. You know, I didn't really start buying into the Tennessee baseball team until really last year. I did a couple of games on radio in years prior, and then now I actually cover this team for VolQuest.com. So I'm new too. I'm not trying to say that I'm any different. But, you know, baseball is baseball, and weird things happen in the midweeks. You saw Texas, who's been, you know, came into the season as the number one ranked team in the country. Of course, Tennessee's other loss on the season, it lost to, like, Texas State earlier this season. South Carolina lost to South Carolina, you know, Prairie Dog Austin. I don't know. I mean, you see weird losses like this during the midweek. It just kind of is what it is. Why? Well, because the midweek is when you get your arms in. It's called old Johnny Holstaff. Who's on the mound for you? Well, Johnny Holstaff. Who's on the mound for you tonight? It's bullpen game. What that means is you are going to throw every single person you possibly can throw to get them some work in. And that's what Tuesday was. That's what the midweek games have pretty much been all season long. And that's fine. You know, Blade Tidwell coming back from injury. He started last week's midweek game, pitched 2 innings, 4 hits, excuse me, 4 strikeouts, 1 hit, no runs. Looked really, really good. He did the same thing this week, but he only pitched 1 inning because Tennessee had to get in all these arms throughout the day. What if Titty, now granted he's not stretched out right now, but you know, say what if he went 5 or 6 scoreless, right? You don't mean to tell me that that's going to change the outcome of the baseball game? It absolutely would, but midweek games are meant to get all your guys work in. Guys that didn't get to pitch in the bullpen, guys that need to get an inning before you head to next week. That it's for the bullpen. It truly, truly is. It's for the bullpen, these midweek games are. That's why you see so many 2 midweek games, you know, Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights early in the season, because you got to get guys work, right? That's why you schedule it. So it's just kind of where you are. And credit Tennessee Tech. I mean, Tennessee Tech did a marvelous job in this baseball game. You know, 3 runs off 6 hits, 1 error in this game. Tennessee managed only 2 runs off 4 hits and an error as well. Both errors came off the third baseman from each respective side. Tennessee, again, managed just 4 hits on the night, and that's wild. Tennessee was 1 of 10 with 2 outs on the game. Tennessee was 2 of 13 with runners on. Tennessee was 1 of 10 with runners in scoring position, and Tennessee was only 2 of 9 leading off the inning. The bats were not there. And again, you want to ask about the wooden bats, you want to make accusations about the wooden bats compared to the aluminum bats. Here's what Tony Vitello said postgame. He pretty much said, I don't have the audio and I apologize. He said, hey, if you want to say they made a difference in the baseball game, sure they did, but it was in the final score. If we had aluminum bats tonight, we would have lost the game 5-6, right? Instead of just 3-2. What that means is, if you watch the game, you know what I'm talking about. Tennessee was swinging at balls out of the zone. Tennessee was chasing and chasing and chasing all night. Not very good plate discipline is how I would phrase it for the Tennessee baseball team, and that's very uncharacteristic like for the Tennessee baseball team. Carter Ganaway was fan-freaking-tastic for Tennessee Tech. He comes in from the pen, 5 2/3, no runs, no hits, 9 strikeouts, and 2 walks. He picked up the win for Tennessee Tech, and Tennessee just didn't have an answer against him. The Vols did tag starter Brock Smith for 2 runs, in the first 3 innings of this baseball game. But after Tennessee scored, it's 2 runs in the third, scoreless the rest of the game. Zeros span the scoreboard. So, and then, of course, Tech was able to grab a run in the fifth and then hits a 2-run home run off Ben Joyce in the sixth inning to take a 3-2 lead, and that's all she wrote as Ganaway really just shut Tennessee down. So it is what it is. It's baseball, right? I mean, Tennessee, that's why there's a coworker of mine. I work with him on the morning show. If you guys listen to the starting lineup, I'll let you use your imagination to guess which one is which. He says you should never celebrate series wins. Series wins should be expected. Like, series wins, okay, it's whatever. Like, you need to start sweeping. Pretty much you don't celebrate series wins. Why would you celebrate series wins? If you are winning each series, you're winning this series, you're winning that series, you're winning that series, that means your record is really, really good. You're winning over twice as many more games then you're losing. Why wouldn't you celebrate that, right? I mean, a sweep every now and then, sure. But if you're averaging 2 wins per series in a 3-game set, I mean, what are you talking about? That's good, right? My point in all this is that's what the expectation for Tennessee baseball should be. Winning every single series with some sweeps in every now and again in SEC play. And I say every now and again. I mean, Tennessee swept every single SEC series it's had so far. Tennessee swept every single baseball series it's had so far, with the exclusion of the Houston. That was a round robin where he lost one. My point is, that's just, I didn't expect that to happen all season long in the Southeastern Conference, because just like in football, just like in men's basketball, it's turned out to be women's basketball, track and field, SEC baseball, I'm not trying to be punny, but it just means more. I mean, literally, it is so, so good. So Tennessee might drop a game against Alabama this weekend. Tennessee might drop a game against Florida in 2 weekends. Tennessee might drop a game later on against, whoever they're playing. Let's see who comes after Florida. Auburn, Tennessee might drop a game against Kentucky or Georgia, whoever, Mississippi State. It is what it is, right? But if you win those series back to back to back, that's going to prove that you're the best team in the country. And I mean, again, Tennessee's already proven that it deserves to be the best team in the country. That's why they're the betting favorites to win the World Series. But point being, I guess, what I'm trying to say before I got off on this rant, it's okay. Baseball has a way of humbling yourself. I don't think Tennessee was, of course, Tennessee's cocky. I'm not trying to say, I don't think Tennessee was going through the motions or not prepared for this game. It's just baseball. Some nights you win, some nights you lose. It's just the way it is. One guy on the mound can tell the whole story of the baseball game, and that's what Carter Ganaway did the other night out of the pen for Tennessee Tech. So the whole world's not falling. Sky's not falling. It's okay. Now, how does Tennessee respond to this against Alabama? I think it'll respond the right way, of course, but that will be the telling feat. How will Tennessee respond to this? How will your true freshman Chase Burns respond to his shortest outing of his career so far in 2 2/3 innings from last Friday? How will he respond? That's going to be telling. All that coming up this weekend when Tennessee takes on Alabama. So those are my thoughts on the baseball game. Wooden bats had nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing to do with it. Tennessee was undisciplined at the plate. It just kind of was what it was. And outside of that 2-run bomb that Ben Joyce gave up, Tennessee's pitchers, Johnny Holdstaff bullpen, did fan-freaking-tastic. This team still is a whole lot of fun to watch. So Tennessee falls 3-2 to Tennessee Tech in the midweek. 2 runs off 4 hits and an error. It is not the end of the world. and it will be time to get back to the old ball yard. The old ball yard come Friday night against Alabama. All right, we got Josh Ward coming up. Ward Wednesday on a Thursday coming up next here on Locked On Vols. But I first want to remind you guys about a product that I take now. It's called AG1. I take it because I didn't have enough time. I wanted better gut health. I wanted more energy. I wanted to optimize immune system. I hated taking pills and vitamins. I wanted a supplement that actually tastes great and wanted to see what all the hype was about. I'm starting to take AG1. What is AG1? Well, for starters, it's a delicious scoop of nutrients. AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food, source superfoods, probiotics, and a lot of great stuff that you just truly, truly need. The special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All those things. And that's all important in our daily walk. Who doesn't want to feel better? Who doesn't want to actually be better? And who doesn't want to look younger? We all want to be like that. So I encourage you to check out AG1. Read the side. Read all the positive reviews that are with AG1. Read all the benefits that can be helping your health each and every day. The price, one of the big things in this, it costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health. It's cheaper than your cold brew habits. It's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. So to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/college. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/college. Take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance today. That is AG1. Welcome back into Locked On Vols. It is your team every single day. And now it's time for a big announcement. Starting Thursday, April 28th, tune in to the Locked On NFL Draft's live coverage of the 2022 NFL Draft. All 3 days of real-time analysis from our extensive lineup of experts and insiders. And for those of you dying to know who your team will take, the Odyssey and Locked On NFL's mock draft special, hosted by Brian Peacock and former scout Mark Williamson of Peacock and Williamson NFL show, all week long leading up to the pick. So check out those two shows. I want to bring on Josh Ward. It's not Wednesday, but we'll get a little Ward Wednesday here on a Thursday. Josh, it's been a couple of weeks. Hope all is well.
Everything's great. A lot going on, and Tennessee fans have a lot to keep up with.
Yeah, certainly. We're nearing the end of spring practice. Actually, later this morning, Josh Heupel will address the media for the final time. Tennessee scrimmages Thursday morning. Josh Heupel will speak, and then that's all she wrote. That's it. It's 14 practices in the book. They might have a walkthrough practice on the other side of spring practice. But what's been the biggest thing that stood out to you so far over the last month of Tennessee football spring practice?
Well, I think it's more the big picture general conversation. I think when we talk about player development and buy-in and leadership, Tennessee has to replace key players who held leadership roles a year ago, like on defense, Matthew Butler and Alante Taylor and Valus Jones on the offensive side, guys that are getting ready for the NFL draft. So how do you replace players in those kinds of roles? And I think guys buying into the program, that continues to be a part of it. When we get to practice on the field, there's some takeaways. I think we can talk about the importance of someone like Elijah Simmons on the defensive line, him staying healthy and playing a bigger role. On the offensive side, Jalen Hyatt, again, showing what his potential can be. But more importantly, I think taking accountability and admitting he didn't put in enough work after his freshman season to be prepared for year two and year one with Josh Heupel as the head coach. So guys understanding what it's going to take, partly because they saw older guys. I mentioned Valus Jones. He's a player that Jalen Hyatt recognizes. I saw what he did on the field. I've looked to him to help me since he's left. So that's kind of been passed down. And that's what you need in a program. You need more playmakers. And I don't think we can take anything away from the secondary. Linebacker will be a big talking point. But I think it's the conversation of players understanding what is expected of them. There's been good progress there.
Yeah, I think one of my bigger takeaways is, and I mean, we're not out there for the whole 2 hours of practice. We didn't see scrimmage number one. We did get to see the second scrimmage, about an hour and a half worth of it. There's been so many guys out, so it's not a true picture. But I think the defense is improving. You're obviously more comfortable. You obviously do have a couple more guys back in the front seven, though you lost some via the, just graduation or whatever. And though you don't have any cornerbacks right now, it appears this is a defense that's more comfortable. It's more aggressive. And though it was primarily backups, I think the fact that you had three defensive touchdowns, had a safety, and then the coaching staff raved about your efforts in the first scrimmage says a whole lot about the progress that this defense is making. And that's vital for this team to take a step forward in 2022.
Yeah, no doubt. Tennessee's going to need to continue to look for guys that can be disruptive up front on defense. Like I mentioned Elijah Simmons, Amari Thomas, if he can play a bigger role for you more successfully. Latrell Bumpus will be an important player to talk about. That would not be a positive from the spring. I think we know that he's an important player coming back, but has been out for most of the spring with an injury. But how much depth do they have? Can they get some immediate help in trying to rush the passer? That's something to pay attention to. But there's a little more Roman Harrison talk, and that can be a positive for Tennessee. And then I think Byron Young can be really good. So the secondary is just, what do you say when so many guys are out? We know that Christian Charles has potential. Tamarian McDonald could be a guy that turns into a positive for this team. But no doubt the secondary is a weight in progress, the way Tennessee's defense is playing. And I think the coaching staff on the defensive side, you bring everybody back. So that cohesion should help from year one to year two.
You know, having said all that, I still think Tennessee needs to find a tackle. I still think Tennessee needs to bring in Brew McCoy. I still think Tennessee should take, if it makes sense, a defensive lineman, maybe a linebacker. All this via the transfer portal. Tennessee's in trouble at tackle. And I'm not trying to, like, say sound the alarms. I just don't think through 14 practices, Tennessee found what it was looking for in an offensive tackle. What say you?
Totally agree. It's the biggest question on offense. Even if Brew McCoy were not to come to Tennessee, and I think there's a good chance that he will, and I think that he's an important player that Tennessee is recruiting, I'm still going to have more confidence in the offensive skill position players making plays in the offense because of the system and the coaches and what they're able to do. I can't come up with the same kind of answer, not as a knock on Glenn Ellerbe as the offensive line coach, but if you don't trust a guy out there on the outside at tackle, there's only so much you can do in that kind of position. And Hendon Hooker took too many hits last year. So if that were to happen again, you know, the old you're one hit away from going out and having to go to the backup quarterback, that obviously applies here. So replacing Cade Mays, he's one of your most talented players from last year's team. And depth on the offensive line in general, I think, is still a big question mark. But at that tackle position, bring in Mincy from Florida, there was no guarantee that he would come in and play at a high level, and time will still tell, but it's a question mark. Same with Crawford coming in. J.J. Crawford is a JUCO transfer a year ago. Often we can also look at what coaches are trying to do. There's a reason they went after Tyler Steen. There's a reason they went after pass rushers. They're not going to just take anybody, but if it's a position of need and a guy that can help, they've been fairly aggressive there, and I think they're still going to look for help if it comes available and there's a player that they can get on either side of the ball.
Little Ward Wednesday action here on a Thursday. Josh Ward joining the show. He's the host of the new Josh and Swain show on 99.1 The Sports Animal, noon to 3. And I'm going to shift here, and I'm not going to go straight to men's basketball. I'm going to go to baseball. How times are changing. Number one team in the country. It's a priority to talk about Tennessee baseball. One loss will not define a season. I know there's a lot of new Tennessee baseball fans, and that's awesome. Baseball is not football. You lose games. That's baseball. The fact Tennessee won 23 games in a row is mind-blowing. Tennessee falls 3-2 to Tennessee Tech earlier in the week. Not the end of the world, Josh. Your biggest takeaway from that?
Yeah, it's no good. You don't want to win, or you don't want to lose the game. You'd prefer to win. But you know, at some point, actually, because it was going to happen, Tony Vitello did want to lose. You know, he doesn't want to have a 30-something game win streak going into the NCAA tournament, because you want to talk about pressure that would build. There's going to be pressure anyway, but this is a team that is still capable of winning the national championship. It's the favorite to win the national championship for a reason, and nothing about the game on Tuesday night affects my opinion of what will happen this upcoming weekend against Alabama or moving forward. So, yeah, there's some lessons that maybe you can take, as Tony Vitello said that you'd put an aluminum bat in the game instead of wooden bat. We're just losing 6-5 instead of 3-2. His point was that Tennessee was making mistakes at the plate and was not being as disciplined as it has been pretty much since, you know, they've started this run, not just this year, but the last couple of years of what they've done successfully. Tennessee still has the arms. They still have depth there, and they still have a lot of pop in the lineup. So it'd be a really good series against Alabama. But I took away, you have a packed house at Smoky Stadium. You have all these fans that are tuning in on a Tuesday night on ESPN Plus to be able to watch the team and keep up with what the team's doing, and genuinely cared what the result was and didn't want to see the winning streak end. And that shows buy-in and that fans care, with what's going on with the program. So there was a little overreaction, but that's a good thing. That means your program has reached a higher level if fans are overreacting to the result of one game.
Last up, you look at this Tennessee basketball roster, some good turnover here, and it's not the end of the world. Hanjay Tumba is into the transfer portal. Of course, Victor Bailey Jr. is into the transfer portal. Quentin Dibunjie will likely enter the transfer portal. Rick Barnes all but confirmed that last week when he spoke to the media. And Brandon Huntley Hatfield has now entered the transfer portal. I heard you talking on Josh and Swain today that maybe behind the scenes it wasn't that big of a surprise. And I don't think it was that big of a surprise, but it's still kind of a surprise on the surface. You couple that with Kennedy Chandler's declared for the draft, John Fulkerson's exhausted his eligibility, and I think we both expect Josiah Jordan James, despite his cryptic tweet the other night, and Santiago Vescovi to test the waters and come back. It's just kind of the era of college basketball right now where you have so much turnover every single offseason. Brandon Huntley Hatfield, I think, is going to be a guy that Tennessee is going to be unfortunate to lose moving forward.
Well, I think if you watched the late part of the season, so the Auburn game would stand out, not huge numbers, but a big shot. And he played good defense and rebounded the basketball and made plays at different times to where you could see his natural scoring ability. I think Huntley Hatfield is a player that fans looked at and said, hey, his talent is for real. He's showing some flashes of that ability. With a full offseason and a bigger role next year, he can do more offensively. Also, Tennessee has a need for more inside scoring presence, based on how this season went. And I think Huntley Hatfield was the best option there. Olivier Kamwa comes back and that helps. I like Jota Seydoux, but Huntley Hatfield is probably the player that fans pointed to. Part of the issue seems to be that he might have had a different idea of what his offensive game should be, maybe more out on the perimeter, and Tennessee thought differently. If that's the case, I would agree with Tennessee's thought that he should be more inside out. And it could be that this is a bad thing for both sides, for Tennessee to lose him, for Huntley Hatfield to go somewhere else thinking his game is something that it isn't. He's a real talent, and he is going to be tough to replace. But Tennessee will have a chance to do that. The Vols need to get some guard help, and they need more of an inside presence offensively. And that's going to play a big role in what Tennessee is next year. You know, depending on somebody like Julian Phillips, that can create different opportunities from a lineup standpoint. He's a big-time talent. Now that he's not going to LSU, he's somebody that Tennessee's making a big push for. So my guess is that Tennessee will be fine here in putting the roster together. But the preference, if I'm Tennessee, would be to have Brandon Huntley Hatfield on the team. Now they have to go replace him.
Josh Ward, part of Josh and Swain, 99.1 The Sports Animal, noon to 3 every single day. Josh, appreciate it, man.
You got it. Thank you.
Big thanks to Josh Ward and our friends over at BetOnline.net, your number one source for all your sports betting stats and information. Find all the latest odds and sports developments, league reviews, news, including this year's basketball playoff odds, start of Major League Baseball season, all that and more. It is all there. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs to scenarios and more. Get those futures in. Major League Baseball just a week into the season, but hey, National League pennant, American League pennant, MVP, Cy Youngs, and of course, your World Series champions. Don't be shy. Go ahead and put the Atlanta Braves down there. Put some money on them. They surprised you and made you some money last year. Head on over to the website today or your mobile device. Learn about all the latest trends and all the action. BetOnline.net. It is where the game starts. Just a couple minutes left here on this Thursday edition of Locked On Vols. Welcome back into it, guys. I'm Eric Kane. Glad to have you along for the ride. Had a good time so far talking a little Tennessee baseball. I had fun talking with Josh Ward, and now let's get into some totals for the SEC East. Now, here on Locked On Vols, here on the Locked On Podcast Network, we are BFF with BetOnline.net. We use BetOnline.net when we're talking lines. We use BetOnline.net when we're talking about the projected matchups. And that's our partner here. But when other windows, when other outlets go ahead and release some lines and some totals as well, we're going to react to it because that's what being good at your job is all about. And that's what we're going to do right now. WynnBET released the win totals for the SEC East in 2022. They have Tennessee at 8.5. Tennessee at 8.5. The under's juiced at -115, which means there's a 53.5% chance of probability that the under will hit. And when you think about it, I mean, that makes a whole lot of sense. That's 8 wins, 8-4 in year two. I mean, when you're looking at this schedule for 2022, you've got a couple losses on the schedule you can immediately point out. Like right now in this stage in the offseason, and things can always change, don't get me wrong, but at this point in the offseason, I would say at LSU will be a loss. I would say against Alabama is a loss. That's two losses there. I would say Georgia's a loss. And you mean to tell me some of these toss-up games won't be a loss? Either one of Florida, Pittsburgh, Kentucky at home. Can Tennessee win all those, or will Tennessee likely drop one of those, and that'll be your fourth loss? I say Tennessee will likely drop one of those. Tennessee will beat Ball State to begin the season. I think Tennessee will beat Pittsburgh on the road at Heinz Field. So I think you're 2-0. I think you beat Akron there. That's 3-0. I think you beat Florida. I truly do believe you beat Florida, and you're 4-0 heading down to Baton Rouge and taking on the Tigers, and that's where your first loss will be. You know, you're sitting at 4-1 right there. You'll be 4-2 after Alabama lost the next week, 5-2 with a win over UT Martin. And here, according to my predictions, this is where you would have to have your next loss. So you're 5-2 right now, and then you play Kentucky at home. That would have to be a loss right there in order to have that eight, that under hit for the eight. So you lost to Kentucky, that's 5-3. Lost to Georgia, that's 5-4. Win against Missouri, win against South Carolina, and win against Vanderbilt. There's your 8-4 season. Now, things change all the time. I mean, things change literally all the time, depending on injuries, specifically in some key positions like maybe quarterback or linebacker or safety or whatever the case may be, pass rusher. And that impacts the football game, obviously, and that can impact the way your season goes. But that's how I see this season right now, and I think Tennessee can, you know, I said crawl to 6 wins last year, and I stand by that. You know, I'm not going to say crawl to 8 wins, but I love the 8 wins here. And according to what I'm saying, you have 3 games to where you have a potential to pick up your 9th win, and that's Georgia, that's LSU, and that's Kentucky. If you win 2 of those 3, there's your 9 wins. You hit the over, right, and you're making some money. So this is according to WinBet. Tennessee, the line is setting at 8.5. If the under's juice at -115, what about some other teams in the SEC East? Well, you've got Georgia at 11.5, the under at -250, the over at +200. So that's interesting there. Kentucky, the line is at 8 at -110. Florida, the line is at 7 at -110. Missouri, the line is at 5. Unders at -120, over is at +100. Those are some of the teams from the SEC East. So what say you as we continue to move through and more windows continue to put out their totals for the SEC East, the SEC West? We're going to go through them and everything. But 8.5, if I said 8.5 right now for Tennessee, would you take the over or would you take the under? I would likely take the under because I know how this works. And just because things look good on paper right now, over the course of a season, things change. Like I said a moment ago, look at Florida last year. Look at Auburn last year. Those two teams were just crawling to the finish line and just abysmal. Just abysmal. Things change. Things change, absolutely. So I would take the under right now, but it is something very, very interesting to talk about. All right, so spring practice 2022 is going to come to a conclusion today. Tennessee will scrimmage in the morning, and we'll get some work in there. That'll be practice number 14. Josh Heupel will meet shortly thereafter, and that is all she wrote. So I will do my best. That's close to the media, by the way. I will do my best to find out exactly what the scrimmage looked like, who shined, and try to find out all that information. And, of course, bring it to you right here on Locked On Vols. But spring practice 2022 is in the books. We will reflect, and we'll talk about what we learned from spring practice 2022 on a Friday show, and hopefully get a guest on to ask them those very things. Did Tennessee solve its issues at tackle? Did Tennessee solve its issues at wide receiver? Do you feel better about the defense overall? What about cornerback? What about linebacker? All that and more, we will reflect on spring practice coming up on tomorrow's show. Guys, thanks so much. Really, really do appreciate you. Thanks to Josh Ward for hanging out and chatting with us today. And most of all, thank you for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. Check out Locked On NFL Draft. The NFL Draft just a couple of weeks away. We're going to try to get Matthew Butler back on the show here pretty soon. And you can check out Eric Crocker and Ryan Tracy, what they have to say on Locked On NFL Draft. Every single day leading up to the draft, and maybe find out where some of those VFLs could be projected to go. That's Locked On NFL Draft. Make that your second listen each and every day. Guys, thanks so much. Really, really do appreciate it. And until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday, everybody.